these things, you know, they plug things in and it ends up being plugged in the wrong spot. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody here this morning. And if there are any visitors, a special welcome to you as well. And we certainly, we have our kids, we want to really invite our kids. So there's some kits at the back in the narthex, and there's a quiet room just off of the narthex and the supervised nursery downstairs after the children's story. So, yeah, we'll make the kids welcome as well. And we don't highlight too many announcements, but certainly on Wednesday, there's a visioning process. We call it town hall meeting. So make sure you keep that in your calendar. There are many other, there's a few other announcements. Have a look at your bulletin and read up on what's going on. And that's all. We'll start with an opening prayer. Our Father in heaven, be with us this morning as we open our hearts and our minds to your word. We are grateful that you are here today and that you are present throughout our daily routines. We know life has triumphs and challenges and are grateful that you are with us always. In the good times when you are walking with us and in the challenging times when you are supporting and carrying us. Thank you. Thank you for your presence. Help us to keep you in our thoughts at all times. This we pray in your name. Amen. We'll have the Psalms now.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, good morning, friends. My name is Tim, and I serve as the pastor here. I also bring greetings from MCEC, that is Mennonite Church Eastern Canada, where I was in Leamington the last couple of days. Has anyone ever been to Leamington before? It's as exciting as you remember.
Yeah.
But the people were good. It was fun to see unexpected friends. I did run into, I've been doing youth work since I was very, very young, and there was someone there who was a pastor, just starting out as a pastor for the first time, and she had been one of the kids in one of my Bible studies for years. So it was fun to go and see her. Less fun for her to remind me that she's 35 and has a child that's 10 and another that's 7. Somehow I got old really fast in that conversation. Now is our time for sharing. I will remind you again that on Wednesday night, we are going to have these table discussions. So how that will work is we will go downstairs in the gym, we'll have people sit in groups, and then we'll have these, our different teams, vision teams, who've been talking about the changes we want to make in the church in the different areas. And they'll come, they'll present it to you, and they'll have a little write-up for you to read as well. And then they'll take some feedback before we go and put together a final proposal for what we're looking to do as we change together, as we follow Jesus into that change. So please, if you're able, I hope we'll be able to see you on Wednesday. And now for any prayer requests, or any praises to share, or other announcements I might have missed, please raise your hand and we'll have a microphone for you.
Good morning. Most of you know my sister Carla. She had a bad fall yesterday, so she's just asking for prayers for healing. And yeah, we'll take her to the clinic this afternoon and see how she's doing. Thank you.
Most of you know that we had the German service last Sunday afternoon with the community, and it was a surprise for many. I kind of expected that, but not everyone. We had altogether 99 people here in the church. And we did a lot of singing, praising, and we had refreshments after that. I would thank everyone that did help with the baking. There were a number of ladies, or maybe even men, I don't know who, you know, but we had enough cookies and enough coffee, and people really enjoyed that. They thank the church for arranging something like that, and they will gladly come again, that's for sure.
Well, thank you, John. That's great news, 99 people. I just thought you all forgot about giving me the leftover cookies, but now I know. There weren't any leftovers. I feel much better. What's that thing? Oh, I didn't attend. It's tough. So even today, my family isn't here. Our youngest is sick today. Our oldest was sick last week. And also, please don't shake my hand. I am also sick. Children.
Yes, good morning. It was about the end of January. I asked for a request, and that was to deal with my sister that was in Nova Scotia. So she had the cancer removed and treatment, and she is doing really good. And as well, my anyways, doctors work their miracles, and as I was talking with Kevin, I said, you know, I pray. Now, Kevin's not too enthusiastic about religion itself, but I did remind him that many people care. So he arrived 2 days ago, so he is well. And I got another little joy here, and that is my grandson, Tommy. He goes to Roman Catholic school, and they actually had grade 2 and 3s attending special course. So he's going to be baptized, and they're going to celebrate his first communion today. So that's very special.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for sharing. All right, well, let's pray together. If there was something you wished to share, but maybe didn't feel comfortable on microphone, please send that to us by email, or you can write that on a piece of paper and just put it in the donation box on the way out, and we would be happy to pray for you. At the end of my kind of just freewheeling prayer, we'll do the Lord's Prayer together. Please use whatever language you are most comfortable in using, but we'll also have some on the screen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that as we bring our needs and our joys to you, that none of these are a surprise. That you are right alongside us even before we know what we need, before we know the hurts of our family, our friends, our neighbors in the world. That you are right alongside us in the joys, in the new life and the new hope. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes. Give us eyes to see as you see. Give us eyes to see your hands at work all through our neighborhood, our world, and our community. And then guide our feet so we can join you. Lord, may we be your hands serving our neighbors. May we be your hands bringing about your peace, your justice, your hope, your love. Lord, we know that our world is full of troubles and pain and chaos. But we trust, Lord, that you remain in control. Work through your people here, throughout the world, to bring about that hope. We pray, Lord, that you would break the hearts of the leaders of the world and turn them towards peacemaking and away from violence. Lord, we pray with hope for the future where the oppressed are fully set free from oppression, and that we may see that in our day, where the oppressor is set free from being an oppressor, and that we may see that in our day. Father, we pray along with our community for Carla, that you would bring your healing hand upon her. We thank you, Lord, for the German service that we were able to celebrate with our community and have people sing and praise you with their heart language. And we pray thankfully alongside Brian. Thank you that you have been with his family in healing alongside his sister, his brother. We pray that your healing touch will continue to be on them. And be with his grandson Tommy today, Lord. We pray that he would experience the full joy of your spirit as he is baptized and has communion. Continue to guide him in your paths. May he know your love. May others know your love because of him. Lord, as we bring our tithes and offerings to you, we recognize that everything belongs to you. Take what we have to offer and use it to advance your kingdom in word and in deed. Friends, I invite you to pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, Children, it is children's time, so please come forward as you're able. For the young men and the young at heart.
Here with me today. I'm also here to come up and guess what the things are that so I'm going to do. This is one of the things I have here. Take a look. Sticky notes. Okay, what else? What else? We got a here. Emily. I have sticky notes. I have Play-Doh. That's one. Evelyn. And a chocolate chip cookie. I have a chocolate chip cookie, Play-Doh, and sticky notes. What do these three things possibly have in common? Do you guys have any guesses? Pardon? Stickiness? Maybe? Okay, sticky in the wrong way. Any other guesses? Did you know that these were actually all invented by the safe? Did you know that? Okay, here we go. Here's the story. When it comes to chocolate chip cookies, a baker at an inn went to bake chocolate chip cookies for her guests, but she found that she was out of her type of baker's chocolate. So she chopped up a chocolate bar, thinking that the chocolate would melt and spread into the batter, but it didn't. It just softened. And altogether, she ended up serving a chocolate chip cookie to all of her guests. Now, Play-Doh, there was a soap company that was asked to make a wallpaper cleaner to sell in their stores. They used water, salt, and flour, and the company made this squishy goo that they thought would do the job. And the soap company president got an idea from his sister, who was a teacher. She said that her students were using this goo to make creations. So he added a little bit of color, he put it in a fun package, and voila, Play-Doh. And last but not least, my sticky notes. A scientist was working to develop a strong glue, but by accident, he made a really weak glue. Now, one of the scientist's friends came up with the idea of using this glue for a bookmark that they could use at a church to mark the pages of songbooks without damaging the pages and just slipping them into place, and that turned into a post-it note. Pretty cool, huh? I didn't know those. Now, these mistakes, although they didn't seem right at the time, ended up being something wonderful in the end. So I have a question for you. Have you ever made a mistake? Yeah, I have one. I have made mistakes. Now, sometimes when we make a mistake, it feels like we've done something wrong or we've done something bad. We just kind of want to give up. Like those people in the story, right? They didn't make what they wanted to, so they felt like they wanted to give up. But it's important to keep trying because you never know what might come of it. And God can take our mistakes and turn them into something new and meaningful. So in our Bible story today, we're going to learn about people who made mistakes and were allowed another chance. And one of those people today was Jesus' disciple, Peter. Do you guys remember what mistake Peter made? Evelyn kind of hinted at it last week. Do you remember? What did Peter do? Do you remember? On the night that Jesus was arrested, he betrayed Jesus. Jesus predicted that Peter was going to betray him 3 times. And Peter was like, no, I can never do such a thing. And he promised he would never deny Jesus. But guess what? Like Evelyn said, he sure did. He got nervous, and he pretended that he didn't know Jesus, and Peter felt awful about it. But the story doesn't stop there. After Jesus rose from the dead, he spent some time on earth, and he appeared to different people. And one of these people was Peter. One day, when Peter was fishing with some other disciples, they hadn't caught anything, so Jesus came walking by and suggested that they move their nets. And when they did, what happened? Do you guys remember the story? They got a whole bunch of fish. And then while they were eating breakfast, Jesus talked to Peter and asked him if he loved him. Peter, of course, told Jesus that he loved him. And the Lord asked him again. And in fact, 3 times in a row, Peter kept saying yes. Jesus told Peter to feed my sheep and take care of my lambs. Now, what does this mean? Well, for one thing. Yes, you were so right. Peter was going to get another chance. He denied Jesus three times, but then he told Jesus he loved him three times. It kind of erased his mistakes. But Jesus was also giving Peter a really important job to go share the good news with others. So God can turn our stories around, just like with the chocolate chip cookie and the Play-Doh and the sticky notes. He can turn our mistakes into a success. Why don't we pray about that together? Dear God, thank you for reminding us that even when we feel like we've fallen too far to recover, or that we've sinned and we don't think we can ever be forgiven, you always give us second chances. Amen. From John 21, Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all these things. You know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, or when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you want, where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following him. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to those things and who wrote them down.
we know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written.
When I wrote "gone fishing" on the calendar, I thought it was pretty clear I didn't intend to be here. But they put it on the schedule anyway. This is the culmination of the Gospel of John. And it comes with this feeling that I think we all know. Have you ever had something where everything seems to go wrong? Or where you do that thing that you really just wish you didn't do, oh, if only I could have another chance at that. Where you failed at something, and you just wish you could get a second chance. Now, for some of us, this will be very much a part of our psyche. When I went back to teaching again, and I was a teacher for a while, I started getting the dreams of being a student again. And I still get them sometimes, and they're kind of the same. It's me, often in university, on the last week of school, suddenly realizing that there was a class I was taking that I didn't go to the entire semester. And I had forgotten to do all the things, and it's too late, and I have to go write an exam that I know nothing about, and there's this panic, oh no, it's too late. It eats at us deep down. So a little background for this passage, and we're going through the Gospel of John, and one of the fun things for me in the Gospel of John is this is an old storyteller telling his story. This is likely the last Gospel written. You'll hear him put himself in there every now and then as the one Jesus loved, the disciple Jesus loved. Or even he talks about, some people said I'd live forever, I'm not going to live forever, guys, but he's probably writing this as the last living disciple. This is the end of his life. He's saying, well, let me tell you how I remember. Also, Peter isn't as fast a runner as I am, and I'm going to put that in there. So there's all these interesting little details of this one person who was known as the son of thunder, now in his old age, recounting this story of Jesus as he's done his whole life. So the Easter story so far, before Jesus is executed, he has a last meal with his friends. And he warns them that they're going to scatter. He washes their feet, serving them as the lowest servant, including the feet of the man who would betray him. He gives his disciple when he says, a new commandment I give you, which is nothing new from what he's saying. Love one another. They'll know you are my followers by how you love. And then he tells his disciples that he's going somewhere where they can't follow him. Now, for a disciple, that's all you do. You follow the master. So this is stark news. And Peter, kind of the lead disciple, he does not take this well. He says, well, why not? I'll follow you anywhere. You can't stop me. I'll lay down my life for you. And then Jesus tells Peter, before the rooster crows, before the start of tomorrow, you're going to deny me three times. Then there's a prayer in a garden, and Jesus is arrested. And as he's being arrested, Peter, showing that he will die for Jesus, pulls out the sword that he has hidden, and he strikes. To which Jesus says, put your sword away. He who lives by the sword will die by the sword. This is the cup that the Father's given. Jesus is arrested, and all of his friends scatter. Peter and John will follow at a distance, trying to see what's going to happen. And as they do, Peter gets closer and closer, and he starts to encounter these questions from other people. First, there's a woman who says, aren't you one of this man's disciples? Aren't you one of those two? No, it's not me. You have it all confused.
And then he's put a group of people around the fire, and they kind of hear how he speaks. He sounds like someone from Galilee, like from the area that Jesus is from. Aren't you one of his disciples too?
No, I don't even know the guy.
And then someone around the fire stands up and says, I was at the garden. I saw you there. Didn't I see you? You look really familiar. And Peter goes, No. It was dark. You were not even talking. And then just as he says that, the rooster crows. And Peter's devastated. His friend is going to a trial to be executed. He's trying to be the only disciple who will follow. The one who will lay down his life, and he can't even say to someone, yes, I'm one of his followers. I love him, and I'm following him to the end. At the trial, Jesus is robbed of justice by the religious leaders. He faces all the darkness and evil our world has to offer from the most powerful empire on the earth. But as he hangs on the cross, he asks God to forgive his murderers. And then Jesus dies. This devastating moment for the disciples will be felt deeply. But let's think about Peter. Peter's last moments with Jesus are, I'll follow you to the end, and then he strikes out, and then he's told to put his silly sword away. That's not what we do. Well, then he'll keep following, and then he'll pretend to not even know Jesus, and now he'll never get to speak to Jesus again. It's all over. And the disciples all go into hiding. What's next? But as we know, the story isn't over. Something miraculous happens as the women go to the tomb at the earliest possible moment when the men are hiding. Suddenly, we see Mary Magdalene encounter an empty tomb. There is this running back and forth trying to figure out what's going on. The disciples go and look at themselves. Peter goes into the tomb himself to see that all of the grave clothes are kind of neatly laid there. But they don't know what to do. What does this even mean? And as they're in a locked room, Jesus will appear to them later. Sending Mary Magdalene on her way, Jesus is risen, the disciples in the locked room, we don't really know what to do with this, so then Jesus suddenly shows up, says, peace be with you. And in this conversation, he's going to give them a task. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. Now we know that Thomas wasn't there. And the next part of the story is, a week later, Jesus showing up again, and there, Thomas gets to see for himself, and Thomas takes this new step of faith. My Lord and my God, you are more than just a teacher. And that brings us right to where we are in John chapter 1. And we're going to hop around enough into each verse to hear. But Jesus is alive. And kind of in a confusing way, he disappears and comes back. And he's not with us, but something has changed. And what does this mean for the disciples now? Well, for Peter, he stands up and he looks at the others and he says, I'm going to go fish. He's a fisherman, after all. Many of them were. And so the disciples say, well, we'll go with you. And they're fishing at night as a good fisherman does, but they catch nothing. Then there's this stranger who calls out to them. And this has happened to them before. Friends, haven't you any fish? No. Well, try the other side of the boat. What amazes me the most is that people will follow that instruction. This is the second time they've done this. So this must be like a thing. Have you tried the other side of the boat? Yes, we tried the other side. There's no fish there. But they, okay, we'll throw that out onto the right side of the boat. And then there's so many fish leaping into this net that they can't even pull them all in. John finally clicks, even though they're tired and he's been up all night. This has happened before. That's Jesus. He said that to us before.
And so once Simon Peter hears this, he just dives into the water. If you read verse by verse in John, John would go to painstakingly say, there's 153 fish. We had to haul them all in because Peter didn't help us. But he just swam to the shore. Because when they landed, there was already a fire of burning coals. And there was fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of your fish you just caught. Come, let's have breakfast. Let's have a meal together again. A meal together again. Didn't we just do that a couple of weeks ago? And then after this meal, Jesus will go and take Peter aside. And Peter is still feeling sore. Peter is feeling shame. That's holding him back. That's taking him fishing. And so Jesus will ask him, do you love me? Yes! Yes, you know I love you. What a silly question. And Jesus says, well, I feed my lambs. Then a second time, Peter, do you love me? Yes! Yes, Jesus. We've known each other a long time. You know how I feel. You know I love you. Well, take care of my sheep. And then it happens a third time. Hey, Peter, do you love me? And by this point, Peter's getting hurt. This is a repeated question. This is cutting right at that place of pain. Peter is likely even recognizing that this is happening a third time. He has denied Jesus three times as was predicted. And now, do you love me again? Jesus, yes. Jesus, you know everything. You know I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. You see, the trouble for us is that we can be like Peter. We can be defined by our hurts, by our mistakes, by that worst moment and worst version of us. Maybe some of you can even think back to decades before that thing you did, and you wake up at night thinking, oh, how can I be so silly? And then you remember that you were 13 years old. But shame and mistakes and hurt stay with us. And when we make mistakes, when things go wrong, especially when we try something new, we try to venture out of our comfort zones. When things go wrong, then what do? We kind of curl into ourselves and go back to what we already know. We go back to how things work. We go back to fishing. Because we fail. We make mistakes. We get things wrong. There isn't a person here who hasn't failed at least once. And many of us will fail multiple times. Spouses, you just not hope with each other. But there's hope here as well, because look what Jesus does. Look what Jesus does for Peter. Jesus sees Peter and loves Peter where he is. He knows that pain, and in the same way, Jesus sees us. Jesus sees you. And loves you as you are. Not some version of yourself that didn't make that mistake. Not some version of yourself that won't get anything wrong ever again. Not some version of yourself that will never exist. But you. All the mistakes. All the flaws. Everything. And Jesus offers us this forgiveness. In fact, what we probably struggle with the most here is that Jesus is so ready to forgive in ways that we are not. Jesus has already forgiven us for things that sometimes we can't forgive ourselves for. It's because Jesus doesn't need us to be perfect. If Jesus needed his people to be perfect so that other people could experience his love in this world, if we needed to be perfect
to experience eternal life and salvation at some point, then I have bad news for everyone here. We're all in trouble. Jesus doesn't need us to be perfect. He just asks us to bring ourselves, you, as you are. Not waiting to get everything together, not waiting to pull on the vision, but just to come as you are. And what I love in this story too, Jesus invites them to this breakfast, this meal together again. And he invites them, well, bring some of your fish. Bring some of these things that you just caught that I held. But what does Jesus already have on the coals cooking? Fish, bread, breakfast. See, Jesus doesn't necessarily even need this fish that the disciples have. He doesn't need those things, but ours is a God who actively participates with his people. That Jesus doesn't want to just have breakfast that he can go and provide for them. He wants to have breakfast together. Whenever we see God move in the Bible, the first thing God thinks of is, who can I do this with? Let's do this together with the people I made in my image. So what does this mean for us today? Well, we are encouraged to have that great song stuck in our head too. That great, don't stop believing. Because Jesus offers us that second chance. We are continually offered second chances. Not only that, but Jesus will offer us second, third, fourth, and tenth chances. The question remains for us is, what will we do with those chances? When we mess up, when we feel ashamed, when we feel like there's nothing we can do to fix that thing that we've done, will we curl into ourselves and go back to the things we're comfortable with on our own? Or will we get up and follow Jesus? Will we get up and accept that Jesus might ask, do you love me? Well, then I have a task. As I've loved you, they will know your followers by how you love one another and how you love other people. I am the good shepherd, and I'm calling you to help me take care of my sheep. Will you care for my sheep? Will you care for those little lambs? Will you feed them? What will we make of our second chance? Peter is feeling defined by failure. And he fails. And Jesus knew he would fail. But Peter will go on to preach the gospel. The church today, people today, us today know about Jesus because Peter and the other disciples went and bravely shared Jesus, and the Spirit moved. At the end of John, he talks about this strange little bit here of, well, when you're older, people will dress you and lead you by the hand. This kind of strange passage, and what John is talking about is how Peter will go and be crucified himself. A legend will have it, or church legend has it, that Peter will be going to be crucified and say, I don't deserve the same crosses as my Savior. And so they hang him upside down. And he will go to the cross showing that he would follow Jesus even to his death in ways that he couldn't before. Peter was able to share this story of second chances. In the same way he had second chances, he could call other people and let them know, you can have that new hope and that new life too. You do not have to be defined by your worst moment. Let me tell you a story about what happened to me. Will we share that second chance with other people? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that you are loving. Lord, I pray that each person here would experience your love in real ways today, this week. That each person here would sense that they are loved as they are where they are.
and that that love would change them and change how they care for other people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and join us for our ancient words.
Friends, I'll still be greeting by the door, but I won't be shaking my hands. I welcome in advance for the best part to try and not pass on the sickness. Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May you hear the ancient words of Jesus guiding your heart. They will know you are my followers by how you love one another. Feed my sheep. Go with God's peace. Amen.
I'm going to go to the next one.